Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 392 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Shelley. Shelley lives in Rockland, California, and she is a retired executive assistant. Welcome, Shelley.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm so happy to talk to you today. This is my favorite part of my job. Well, I have a lot of favorite parts of my job.
Cool job. And I just want to thank you for what you do and for writing your books, because they've changed lives, truly.
Well, you know, everybody who's a teacher at heart just likes to teach people things and share things that we love. So I'm really, really grateful to have been able to do this work. And again, like I said, I love doing it. So let's get into your story. You know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
It was 2020, and I don't think it was tied to COVID. I know the timing sounds like it was. I had hit a point where I had come off of doing a medical diet, the Phentermine program.
Yep. Been there, done that.
And yeah, I know you have. And I hit a great weight. I was happy. And within 9 months of that weight, my weight skyrocketed.
Yeah, that is exactly what happened to me with the exact same medical program with Phentermine. I hit a weight that was great, and then it skyrocketed. I gained 50 pounds in 18 months after coming off of it.
I believe I gained 30 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of desperate at that point. I thought, and I really didn't struggle with my weight my whole life. I was always a little heavier. I never thought I was, you know, thin enough, typical, right? I think I have a little bit of body dysmorphia where I pictured mm-hmm. myself looking worse than I did when I was younger, which is unfortunate. And I still struggle with that a bit. I'm trying to get through that and learn how to deal with that. But after coming off of that experience, I got a bit, like it really bothered me. And so right. I immediately jumped onto Amazon and was searching for diet books. And Delay Don't Deny popped up in my feed. And I really feel like that was a miracle for me. It truly was a miracle.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I ordered the book, read it within like 2 days, and I was on my way. And then everything in my past made sense, of course. And that whole experience with the medical diet made sense. And, you know, then I branched out into watching Dr. Jason Fung videos and kind of got into those rabbit holes. And, you know, I realized, yeah, I was just, my metabolism was just shot right. after years of this. And I knew I couldn't do it anymore.
You had been, basically to summarize, you had not ever been like people looking at you would not have said, man, Shelly's overweight. Like right. no one would have thought that.
No.
But you had the body dysmorphia that I think is really common. You know, I've talked about my own issue with my mother talking about her thighs all the time and our cellulite.
Yes.
And so I was never comfortable and I thought it was something to be ashamed of and that I could diet it away and exercise it away. Of course, I never could because that's how my body is shaped. But the phentermine was really the last straw. You'd probably also, even before the phentermine, been really like working to eat less, move more, right?
Absolutely. I look back now and I spent years doing the most hardcore workouts. I thought I had to do all of that just to sort of maintain and not become obese or, you know, severely overweight. And I tortured my poor body when I look back at what I put myself through. And then fast forward, you know, and about 10 years ago, I started having shoulder issues, ended up having multiple shoulder surgeries, both sides. And so that took me out of my workout routine.
Was it from overexerting? Did you think that you
injured yourself? I think it was a combination of things. Yeah, overuse at work, mm-hmm. exercise, just a combination.
Right.
And I think probably just prone. My shoulders were just prone to that. So I had tears and then I ended up with frozen shoulder after surgery. Oh. So it became a nightmare. And so it took me out of the workout routine for years because I just couldn't do anything but walk again. And that, I think, was part of my issue because mm-hmm. when you spend that much time and do so much working out and then that stops and then you get on this restrictive diet situation, it's just a disaster.
Right.
And so watching Dr. Fung, reading your book, I realized, my goodness, I just killed my metabolism.
Yeah.
And I had gone through years of restrictive dieting. And I said, I need to find something. I will never restrict again. And this was it for me. And I vowed at the beginning, I will not, you know, my goal is to get out of diet mentality. I will not restrict carbs. I will not restrict sweets. I'm starting eating everything I want, which wasn't a ton. I've never been one to be like obsessed with food. So that was not my thing. I didn't always want to eat and overeat. I think I was eating the wrong foods at the wrong times. I would eat late night snacks and that sort of thing. So that became my goal. And I told my husband from the start, I said, okay, this is it. I'm ordering bagels from New York because I want to eat bagels every day if
right.
I want. And I did. And my weight loss in the beginning was a little bit slow. It always feels slower than you want it to be,
right.
but it was slow. And then along the first year during that journey, I realized my thyroid was also an issue. And so I sought a doctor for that. We started the medication route and, you know, that's a gradual process where they have to retest every few months and I would start a dosage, go back in, have to increase the dosage. Then I would stay okay for a while. Then I'd have to increase it again. And so this went on for 2 years. And so I think that's why my weight loss overall was very slow. I think it's about 31 pounds in little over 3 years. But for me, the key was just keep going. I just had this message saying, keep going. I would put on your podcast, especially during COVID, and I would just get out and walk.
Right.
And I was doing a podcast every day. And honestly, I can't even tell you how many times I'd put a podcast on and a message that day would be exactly what I needed to hear.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's how it often works. You get what you need in the moment. So now you said that you lost 31 pounds in 3 years, but let's put that into context. How much did you need to lose? Like, are you comfortable sharing your weight?
Oh, yeah. Us? So okay. I think, let me see here. I think I started around, I looked back at my weights from years ago and I was trying to get an accurate number. I think I started out after the Phenermine, I believe it was about 176.
Okay. And how tall are you?
And I'm 5'7".
Okay.
And I fluctuate now between 145, 148. It varies. I'm getting close to the point where I'm ready to follow your lead and just toss the scale because it's still a problem.
It sounds like you're at an ideal weight for your body.
Yes.
I think so. Do you feel good in
your body? My doctor says I am. My doctor says don't lose any more weight. And so I feel good, but what keeps me going is this fear of, oh my God, I'm going to wake up and be 10 pounds heavier one day. That's the fear.
Well, any of us that have had a complicated relationship with, you know, our body images and dieting and feeling like we have to white knuckle it to get to our goal and white knuckle it even harder to stay there, that's a fear we share. Like if I keep my eye on the ball, then maybe I can keep myself here. But if the minute I look away, it's going to skyrocket because that's what happened when you quit the Phenermine. That's what happened to me when I quit the Phenermine. When I did the HCG diets, my weight would always skyrocket after. So our own history has made us squirrely about trusting.
Exactly. It's almost like a form of post-traumatic syndrome. Like we've gone through this trauma. And I went through this experience. You're going to think I'm crazy. And this probably happens to you, but I had postponed my podcast because I woke up one day and I was like 7 pounds heavier over the course of like 2 weeks.
Right.
And I'm like, I need to take a break here and see what am I doing? Something's not right. And am I like on my road back up and this is going to be a failure sort of thing? And so I kind of just kept plugging away. And it was the weirdest thing. I am convinced it was triggered by I started exercising more.
Yes.
And my body freaked out.
Well, let's think about that number, 7 pounds. You said you went up about 7 pounds in like 2 weeks.
Yes.
Here's something I want everyone to really hear me say. We do not lose or gain fat quickly. I actually have a section on this in my new book, 28 Day Fast Start Day by Day, where I talk about the math of how much fat it is like possible to gain or lose quickly. So any quick swings, either direction, might have some fat gain or fat loss in there, but it's not going to be all fat gain or fat loss. And what you just described, when you increase an exercise regimen, now people might say, oh, you're building muscle. Well, you also don't build muscle that fast. You're not going to build 7 pounds of muscle in 2 weeks. And that isn't it either. But water balance changes, right? You know, we maintain, you know, a certain amount of water balance, but it can go up by several pounds and down by several pounds. And it can do that pretty quickly. And when we first start exercising, you know, we have like our muscles, they might start storing away some extra glycogen in there to fuel our workouts. And glycogen comes with water. And then there's the inflammation of working out your muscles. And that comes with water.
Yes.
So I want everyone to always be confident. Any quick up or down is not 100% fat. And so you can just be like, well, that was really quick. What changed? You know, it could be related to, you know, gut changes can cause quick swings up or down. I knew somebody in our community one time who started taking a prebiotic. And she was taking a prebiotic and her weight suddenly went up 10 pounds, like seemingly overnight. She didn't connect it to the prebiotic for a while. But then eventually she's like, oh, wait a minute. I started a prebiotic. And so she stopped the prebiotic and went, poof, it was right back off. It was not 10 pounds of fat. It was just something was going on in her gut. So
it was shocking, but it was a good experience. I look back now and I think, okay, this is great. I'm all back to normal again. And but I did stop the exercise and I said, I'm going to wait till I get to my goal, because that mentally to me, I need to be at my goal weight to start the exercise. And that's what I did.
And I want to tell you the difference this time. You know, we talked a few minutes ago about how we always gain the weight back every single time. And so we feel scared that's going to happen again. But this is the difference. You're not going to stop doing intermittent fasting. We quit the phenermine because you can't take that forever. We quit the HCG because you can't do that forever. So whenever you are doing something and losing weight, and then that's not something that is forever, the weight comes back.
Yes.
If you start doing a restrictive diet and you lose the weight, and you stop the restrictive diet, the weight comes back. But with intermittent fasting, we do it as a lifestyle. We keep doing it. Yeah, we're going to have seasons where our weight fluctuates up and down, like the holiday season. You may go up a few pounds every holiday season and then go back down when it's over. But you're not going to quit. So that's where the difference lies.
Yes.
And if you suddenly do start gaining weight rapidly ever, there's a signal that something's going on in your body.
Right.
Medically, that, you know.
Right.
That you need for to sure. maybe take a look at. But, you know, I totally understand the scale.
Yeah, it's issue. Getting so do
you, are
to
you weighing
point.
Right now?
I am, not daily. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned before the call we started that I just got back from a cruise. And it's such a different experience cruising while you're fasting. And
right.
we stuck to our fast. We were religious about it. And I ate a lot more than I would normally, because I rarely eat a lunch and a dinner. I'll eat like a snack and a dinner most times, but I vowed to take the stairs everywhere on the ship.
I do that too on a ship.
Yeah, I need to get the steps in. And I was walking 26 to 30 flights a day. I was so excited. And I came home and I had lost a couple pounds. So I was so excited. But as I was eating, I was thinking about you, because you've made these comments, and I'm tasting the food and I'm thinking, I'm not eating this. This isn't right. worth eating. And yeah. and the food on the cruise ships has gone down quite a bit in quality. It's kind of sad, but COVID's done that everywhere.
Yeah, I haven't cruised since 2019. So
yeah. And I'm like, I'm not going to eat it if it's not great. But so that helped. I didn't want to eat everything in sight, but anyway, but it's doable. So that was fun to experience, you know?
Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. So good. Go to greenchef.com/ifstories50 and use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/ifstories50. And don't forget to use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study.
Well, that's an awesome victory coming home. Way less than when you started.
Exactly.
But, yeah, people are like, well, yeah, I'm going on a cruise, though. It's all inclusive. I paid for this food. But you will not feel good if you eat the whole time.
Exactly. I mean,
you can choose to do whatever you want. And but if you eat, like, gosh,
and
breakfast,
I have to
lunch,
say,
you're
like,
feel awful.
We're not real big drinkers. We don't really drink. Like, I think I had a glass of wine twice that week. But it is funny when you see people who start from 10 a.m. on, you know, they drink all day. That's a whole different calorie situation. But
yeah.
But anyway, that was a fun experience. So,
well, I love hearing that. But, you know, we talk about the scale, and the scale is a very valuable tool. I'm not anti-scale. I used it the whole time I was losing weight. I used it for the first year of maintenance. But I started to get diet brain from seeing the fluctuations. And like I know in my head that weight fluctuates up and down several pounds. I know that. But still, it would stress me out every time I would see it go up and stay up a couple pounds for a couple days. It would freak me out and I would think I needed to diet.
Yes.
And so it gave me diet brain. So that's what the day I threw my scale away after, you know, I was like, no, I don't need to see that anymore.
Exactly.
I'm wearing my honesty pants right now. I'm wearing my honesty jeans. I pull on these are my honesty jeans. They're size 0 and I've had them for years. They're almost worn out.
That's amazing.
But it's the holiday season. So I'm like, you know, if they're feeling a little tight, they are feeling a little tight. I had friends here for the weekend. We had a Christmas party last night. We're recording this in December. And so I've been celebrating with foods I don't normally eat. So I'm like,
exactly.
Whoops, they're a little tight, but it's not a problem because this is my 10th holiday season. I'll be fine.
I bought for the first time, I don't even remember being young and ordering a size 4 jean, but I did. And I'm wearing some size 4s now. And
awesome.
I thought, wow, that's amazing. So we'll see. Those might become my honesty pants going forward.
And sizes are crazy. You know, I went shopping for some new jeans just because, like I said, my jeans that I bought in, I guess, 2016 to 2017, they still fit me, but they're starting to wear out, which is a problem I never had before intermittent fasting. I never wore clothes long enough for them to wear out. But I went shopping for new jeans, and finally, jeans aren't weird. They don't have frays and holes and tears and sequins. I just want jeans that are plain jeans. But I went shopping one day, and I tried on all the jeans. We have a great outlet mall in North Myrtle Beach, and the jeans I ended up buying, I got 2 size 0 jeans, 2 pair of size 0, but I also bought 2 pair of size 4 petite.
Oh, interesting.
So in one day, I fit into size 0 and size 4 petite. And but it doesn't matter what the number is.
Exactly.
I'm the same me. I didn't go from the size 4 store to the size 0 store and I just lost, you know, 4 sizes or 2 sizes in 10 minutes.
So true. And while we're talking about jeans, one of the things I learned through this process, once I find a pair of jeans and I like them, I buy like 2 or 3.
So smart.
And so while I was losing weight, I'd find a jean and I would say, okay, I'm going to buy the next size down. And so I learned the hard way that when that season rolled around and the next year I went to go put the jean on and it was too big. And then I was scrambling to buy the next size down. And these weren't cheap jeans.
Right.
And so, piece of advice, don't spend a lot of money on those clothes as you're going down because you can't keep up. And so
that's true. And also the advice to, once you finally get to your size, buy several if you like the way something fits.
Exactly.
I bought 2 of each of those jeans that fit me so that I would have them. Because again, I had not found jeans that I liked in the stores, even like worth trying on. Like I didn't like the way the high waist and the weird, there were weird cuts and they just didn't, I didn't like them for years. So it's been since 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
There were jeans that were cut right again. But what brands of jeans do you like?
I was buying AG, which from Nordstrom, which were really pricey. Their Wit and Wisdom jeans that have a little stretch to them are so comfortable. And they do tend to fit, they hold in the waist a little better. There's not really a muffin top.
Yep.
Action,
they feel good
on.
They don't feel like they're pinching your waist.
Exactly.
They still feel like,
yeah.
I ended up with some Tommy Bahama jeans. Who even knew they made Tommy Bahama jeans? I had no idea. I just wandered in there and also Talbots.
Oh, good. Okay.
The Loft didn't have anything. The jeans I've had for years were from the Loft. This time
I used
to
always shop at the Loft when I was working. Love their pants.
Yeah.
But I haven't since I've retired. So I live in jeans and now yoga pants. I started Pilates, which to me has been a godsend. It's just been amazing. So it's good for my bad joints. And it's amazing. I haven't lost weight since I've started, but I'm seeing people I haven't seen in a couple months, and they say, oh my gosh, you lost a lot of weight. And I said, no, I think it's Pilates.
Yeah. Well, so, it really like makes you lean.
I think
Pilates
so.
I love Pilates. I just am not good at going somewhere and doing things. Do you do the machine Pilates?
The reformer.
I really like that.
It's amazing.
It really is. I'm going to do that one day.
You should. I mean, I can't say enough about it, and it helps me so much mentally as well as physically. So it's been really great. So I'm so excited about that. And after I had arthritis in my hand, and I had two surgeries on the hand, and so I'm limited. I can no longer do a lot of things. And so I'm able to do Pilates. So I was so excited by that. So
do you do the class where it's like multiple people, or where it's like just you with somebody?
There are 12 reformers in the session. And they vary the classes. They have different styles. Some are just flowy, more yoga like, and then others are more cardio. So there's variety there. I enjoy it a lot.
Well, I've only done reformer Pilates one time. It was when we lived in Augusta, and it was someone who lived way outside of Augusta. It took me like over 30 minutes to get there, and I loved it. I'm like, well, I'm never going back. It's too far.
Aww.
But I don't have time. But there's a studio here that has it. But I just, with the way my podcast schedule is literally different every day and running my community, I just don't have time to go somewhere and do something. But it's on my radar because it really is enjoyable. But
yes,
I love
it
that you can tell your body is firming up from it. It's really, really good for you.
Yes. So I'm very excited about that. I feel like finally everything's coming together. So the weight loss is stable now. The physical part is coming together. My husband, so about a year after I started fasting, he went to the doctor, and his doctor, who is my doctor, we have a great doctor. She said you're pre-diabetic and your cholesterol's high. And so he said, well, I think I'll try what my wife's doing and see if that helps. And so she said, what's that? And he says, intermittent fasting. And she said, I love intermittent fasting. I do it myself, and my husband does it, and we absolutely love it. And so he goes back 3 months later, and they check his labs, and everything's normalized.
Wow.
In 3 months.
See, and that's amazing.
So it was just amazing. So not long after, I go in for my visit, and he told me she was so excited. So I took her your book, and I gave her a copy, and I said, I want you to have this. This is how I found the program, and this is why we've both had so much luck and success with our health. And she was so excited. And she said to me, it's the one thing I recommend to every one of my patients with a weight issue, because it's the only thing people will stick to.
Yeah. See, that is key. There are still people out there who think that the only reason intermittent fasting works is because you're eating fewer calories.
My son says.
Well, Krista Verde, who's done the alternate daily fasting research, unless she has recently changed her position, she still thinks it's because it's the calories. But let's imagine that that is true. If that is the only thing it does, I don't think so. But I don't think that's it. But even if it was, it's worth doing, because like your doctor said, you don't quit.
Right.
So even if it doesn't have, if there's no such thing as you don't have increased autophagy and you don't have any of the other benefits, I don't think that's true. I just want to reiterate that. But it's the thing that you can stick to.
Even on a cruise. And even carbo loading on a cruise that you normally wouldn't do. But no, Dr. Fung says the same thing. It's not, if it was just as simple as calories in, calories out, every doctor would be thin, right? It's not that simple.
Right.
And so I have this dialogue with my son who's, insistent on, no, it has to be like Ozempic, because that works. And I said, but intermittent fasting is free. Like this isn't,
And it doesn't have the negative side effects.
Exactly.
Right. And Sherry, that my co-host on Fast, Feast, Repeat, she works in the hospital ER, and she said they're seeing a lot of people coming in with side effects from
surprised.
Drugs.
And I did tell him, you have to promise me that the minute you get to your comfortable weight, that you transition to intermittent fasting, because otherwise you have no shot at keeping that
weight. Oh, is he taking the medication?
Yes.
Oh, I know that's hard as a mama to see.
It is. Mm-hmm. It'll be short term. It's not going to be long, but still, you know. And so anyway, I think he's close to where he wants to be. So, but he's got to transition to fasting or it'll all come back.
Well, that's what even their own research, the manufacturers of these new diet drugs say in their studies that when people quit, they regain weight. So, well, and it's like the whole phenamine thing. It's not a permanent solution. You can't keep doing that over and over.
I had to laugh. We sat at our table on the cruise with an emergency room doctor, and one of the women, we started talking about intermittent fasting. Of course, I tell everyone I see, I'm like this messenger. But she asked this doctor across from us, what do you think about Ozempic? And he said, I think if it works for people, take it. What's the big deal? That was his response. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. Well, then he proceeds to tell us that he's diabetic, and he checked his insulin right before dinner, and he gave himself a shot because it was starting to get out of whack. And then he sat there and, you know, devoured dessert after dinner. And I thought, oh my goodness.
Oh, wow. So this doctor with high blood sugar.
Yes.
Sitting at the table, gave himself extra insulin. You know, I saw that with my dad when he was in the hospital. I saw what they fed him on the hospital tray, right? Oh. He's diabetic. And then his blood sugar was crazy high through the roof. And of course, the stress of being in the hospital didn't help with that. But then they're like, just put on like an insulin drip to manage it. I'm like, maybe I could give him different food. I don't know. I know I'm not a hospital nutritionist, but.
Oh my gosh. I don't get it.
Breakfast was like grits and toast. And I'm like,
oh no.
Yeah, your blood sugar's through the roof. Here's some extra insulin. That'll be fine anyway.
Oh my goodness. I was just watching have you ever watched Dr. Panda? He did the mice study.
Is it Sachin Panda?
Yes. Have you watched his interview?
I have not watched him, no.
I recommend that to anybody who does intermittent fasting. I am just so blown away by this man and his study. And he does an interview with Dr. Chatterjee.
Okay. Somebody else just recently recommended Dr. Chatterjee to me. And so I followed him. I haven't had time to sit and watch his stuff, but he loves intermittent fasting.
It's 2 hours. I think it's 2 hours, okay. But it is going to be the best 2 hours you will ever spend on YouTube.
Okay.
Great interview. Dr. Chatterjee uses fasting for his patients. And so he talks to Dr. Panda about his studies. But one of the most interesting things I thought he said was that they found with their patients recently that just 14 hours of fasting was producing their medical results, the improvements. And they were so excited by that because anybody can fast for 14 hours.
Yeah.
And so this is like mind-blowing stuff, you know?
I think this is worth repeating. You know, the Zoe, Tim Spector's research group, they're adding some time-restricted eating information to the Zoe app and the Zoe program. And they did an intermittent fasting study with, you know, asking people to follow it. Same thing. They're finding benefits with not even a ton of fat, like 14 hours. Like you said, you can do that 14 hours. And I mean, are you going to like start fasting for 14 hours and then suddenly lose a tremendous amount of weight really, really quickly? Probably not.
Right.
But for health benefits, they're there. Even
He said what they found with that group was that even in the 14 hours of fasting, the participants naturally ate less.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They weren't hungry. And so that's why they saw success. Most of them did have some weight loss, probably not as much as, you know, a longer fast, but it was just fascinating. And just the whole thing about, you know, he literally studied every organ of these mice at the cellular level to see what this fasting was doing. It's amazing.
Well, I'm going to add that to my watch list. But
it's a great watch.
The takeaway for everybody listening is this. Intermittent fasting is about so much more than what your weight is doing. And, you know, for health benefits. We know we brush our teeth. We get plenty of sleep. We eat food with nutrients. Fast for 14 hours. I mean, you know, I fast for longer than that. You fast for longer mm-hmm. than that. But everybody can do that. Everybody can you know, shrink that eating period. And so for everybody who's listening, if you've struggled with making intermittent fasting into a lifestyle because you think it's only worth it if you're doing 19.5 every day and you can't stick to 19.5 every day, so you're, you know, quote, quit, and then you're, quote, restarting. You know, I bet most of the people who think that they quit and restarted probably were not eating more than 10 hours. They were probably doing a 14-hour fast, even though they felt like, compared to what they were doing before, they quit.
Right.
So it's just a matter of shifting in your head that you're not quitting. Even if you're doing a 14-10, you're going to see health benefits from that. And you can just like think about it as a sliding scale. Maybe one day you do 19.5 because it works out that day, and the next day it's 16.8, and the next day it's 14.10. And you're not quitting. You're just living life and doing something healthy.
Yes. And I think the one thing that people don't understand when I first speak to people about fasting and how much we love it, and everybody seems to think right off the bat that you have to have the same window hours every day. Right. There's that perception out there.
Yeah.
And so once people get that, no, you know, you're flexible.
Yeah.
They're excited.
Right. That's really the best message. And it's flexible. You can make it work for you day to day. It can work on a cruise. It can work on Christmas Day. It can work anywhere. And you're not stopping when you have longer windows and shorter fasts. It's not a big deal. You just keep going and you just, you find what feels good and
yes.
make it work for you. And so many people who will say, well, I tried that. It didn't work for me. They are only defining working as what their weight did.
Yes.
You know, and in the new book, 28 Day Fast Start Day by Day, you know, I really want people to redefine. I have a section here where I have people redefine what they mean by working. Let's say someone never lost a pound, ever. They started intermittent fasting, lost 0 pounds, but they reversed diabetes. Did intermittent fasting work? I would say so, right?
Absolutely.
So the weight loss can come with tweaking, but other things are going to happen behind the scenes that are amazing.
Yeah. And one of the things, so after the first year, I kept thinking in my mind, okay, it's slower than I would have, you know, than what I was used to, which never worked. So of course, right. But then things would happen. And so, for example, I went in to have my brows done. I hadn't seen her in a year, and she looked at me and she said, "What did you do to your skin?" And I said, "Nothing. Why?" And she whips out a picture that she had on her device of her customers. And she pulled out an old picture of me and she said, "Look at your forehead. You had these spots and you had gone."
Wow.
And so just things like that happened along the way that just kept me going. And I knew things were changing. So that was the exciting part.
That really is exciting. You didn't even realize that was happening until you looked at the comparison photos.
And I had forgotten she had a picture. And for her to know just, you know, within like 2 minutes of looking at me, you know, "What did you do differently?"
That's amazing.
I had a cousin of mine come over and he said, "When we left your house," they hadn't been here and for a while. And he said, "When we left your house," he said, "I told my wife, Carol, I think she had something done, like work done." Yes. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "You look younger. Your face looks younger." And I said, "It's the fasting."
It's true.
It's the fasting. And so he went home. He was diagnosed with diabetes. His A1C was 13 something, I believe.
Oh, my goodness.
Went home. I sent him your book, had it delivered by Amazon like the next day.
Right.
He started the program and went back to his doctor in 6 months, and it had dropped down to 6.
Oh, my gosh.
And his doctor was blown away. And so he texted me when he left the doctor's office and said, "I have to thank you." And I said, "For what?" And he said, "For sharing this with me." I mean, the timing of everything, you know, how things work and how, you know, the message kind of, you share your message with people. And I feel like I'm this little fasting messenger. I just share it with everybody. So,
but just think about how that has changed his health trajectory to go from an A1C of 13 to an A1C of 6 in 6 months because he incorporated intermittent fasting. Yes. I mean, that blows me away. And, you know, there's so much conflicting information out there. Somebody today in the community was like, a friend of mine, I introduced her to fasting. Now she's reading all this stuff. Then she read somebody who said, don't do fasting. It'll give you gallstones or something. I don't know.
Oh,
so now
no.
Our friend is worried. And I'm like, you know, if we start looking for all the negative things out there that people say might happen, then you might be scared to start. And, you know, he could be trapped. We know an A1C of 13 is not good. We know an A1C of 6 is better.
Right.
So, you know, don't be afraid of what this person says might happen or that person says might happen. And, you know, going back to the gallstones, because this is a very real concern. I don't want to make light of it. But, you know, we've gotten that question because there's one person out there in the world who spreads that exact message of, oh, it's the gallstones. You don't want to fast. But it's somebody who has a program they would like to sell you instead of fasting. But that's all I'm going to say right there. The truth of the matter is, when it comes to gallstones and gallbladder problems, people who are overweight are more likely to have gallbladder problems and gallstone problems. Also, if you are overweight and lose the weight, you are more likely to have the problems while you're losing the weight. And so, therefore, you could say, well, then could fasting cause you to lose the weight? And that, yes, but any weight loss
method. Any diet.
Yes. So the problem is the fact that you became overweight. And by the time you're overweight, it's too late to not have become overweight, if that makes
sense.
Exactly. So the risk factors for having trouble with your gallstones and gallbladder and all that, being overweight, losing the weight.
Yes.
But I don't think that's a reason to not lose weight. You know, you want to lose the weight and anyhow. So I wanted to mention that.
Hear these things and you do worry because, you know, you get your hopes up and then you think, oh no, this could happen. But
right. And, you know, I actually think, you know, gallstones and gallbladder problems are very, very prevalent in just in the population in general. People who are fasting, not fasting, just everybody. It's a very common, you know, percentage of the population has these issues. We, you know, knowing how common it is, you would expect we would probably see more people in our intermittent fasting community who are having, you know, attacks of their gallbladder. But I think we actually, you know, I don't have obviously the raw numbers, but we don't see it a lot. So.
Yes. Now, one of the issues in looking back on my journey now, I realize I would go through months where there was zero weight loss, you know, 3-4 months at a time. And then the whoosh effect is real for me. Sometimes like really large drops at once. And then I'd go back to no loss for several months. It's just, that was my pattern. And so I would share that with anyone, you know, not to get discouraged because that happens. It's very real. The other thing I look back and I think I probably wasn't eating enough a lot of times because my challenge was, I would open with something small, a snack, a protein bar. And then by the time I was ready to eat dinner, not long after, I wasn't real hungry.
Right.
And so my challenge was fitting it all in. And I'm sure you have suggestions
for
that.
Well, the solution would be to lengthen your window, right? You're exactly right. We do not want to get stuck in a window that is too short over time, all the time.
Okay.
And like, how long would you say your window was during that period?
During that period, it was probably 5-6 hours, but I wasn't eating during that time. I would eat like twice.
Okay. So you would eat like a protein bar or something and then nothing else. And then,
yes.
So and that might be that just the protein bar was just way too satiating for you, but it wasn't enough food. Like, your body was like, all right, I got enough protein, but then, and then you didn't want to eat anymore. So you really were kind of not, you were full, but not eating enough. Yeah, that can happen with certain things. Like, you know, if you're eating, I'm trying to think what else might fill somebody up. Like if they start drinking bone broth, for example, if they opened their window with bone broth and sipped on a bunch of bone broth and that, like, you know, quote, fills you up, but it's not a lot of fuel.
Right.
So you're not really taking much in. So we have to be careful not filling up on, or even like people will drink, you know, their windows open. So they start drinking, you know, the hot milkshake coffee or the coffee with cream, and that can fill you up. So you're filling up on, you know, in your example, the protein bar, or maybe it could be a beverage, and then you're not eating sufficient amounts of food. So you do need to watch out with that. There are plenty of people who do better opening with a nutritious meal.
Yes.
Like start with a nutritious meal. You know, just because I tend to open with a hearty snack and then later I have my dinner, that is not, that doesn't mean that's the way it should be done. Many, many people do better opening with a nutritious meal and then later have something else, you know, to close your window, whatever that, however large that second eating experience needs to be, whether you call it a snack or a meal, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And I was listening to Dr. Panda, and he's fascinating. He suggests opening with more of a carb type meal.
Okay.
And saving your protein and fat for later in the evening.
That's so interesting.
Which is fascinating to
me. Why does he suggest that? I'm curious.
Just to kind of let your body, you're preparing for the long fast with your protein and your fats at night. And your body isn't ready to process the proteins earlier in the day.
That's so interesting.
You're going to love this.
Well, I got to listen. Okay.
This YouTube, I'm telling you, it's life-changing. The other thing he tells people is, which I kind of think there's some interesting stuff here. He tells people the only guidelines to this fast, the 14 hours that he recommends, is nothing but black tea or black coffee for 1 hour after you awake. So whatever time that is, you can't have anything. Because your body is not ready to process anything other than your body's not ready. It's just not awake. And so that to me is fascinating. So there's that 1 hour there. And then he says 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. So anytime, fit that window in. But those are his guidelines, which is, you know, so no.
Well, you know, I'm doing exactly what he says to do.
Yes.
Just for more hours in either direction. Like I just stick to the water and the black coffee.
I know you do.
And then 1 hour, multiple hours.
But I'm getting better at that. I've actually lengthened my window so I started getting into this. I love a Breve cappuccino.
Yeah.
But I also love black coffee. So I have no problem drinking that first thing in the morning, and I'll drink a few cups and I'm great. I started drinking a cappuccino at about hour 18, 19.
Okay.
Well, what happens then, sometimes I don't want anything else for another 2-3 hours. It's just so filling for me.
That's what I just said about not filling up with the beverage. Yep.
Exactly. So that's like a meal for me. It just really fills me up. But then I'm not getting enough of my nutritious.
Right, right. I think that's really, really, that's something, a stumbling block to watch out for.
But, it is.
You know, I do tend to close my window a couple hours before I go to bed. You know, I don't tend to eat my meal and then go straight to bed. So I'll usually finish up by about 7, and I like to go to bed around 9. So
We love to watch TV. We obsess about watching
TV. We watch TV at night. Chad and I do. That's our quiet time, settle down time. We watch TV together.
And the reason I think we both had so much weight to lose was that we would snack during our shows before fasting. And so that's the reason we shut our window off by it's usually we're done by 5. We're done. And so we watch TV and we do not eat anymore. And that's, I think, our biggest difference. I mean, the snacks, you know.
Yep. That's such an easy habit to get into because it's often encouraged, really. The snacking in the evening
popcorn
is kind of, it's kind of like, of course, the snack industry wants you to snack with their products. But it's kind of like something that just people start doing just because it just feels like the right thing to do. You eat your dinner, then you're watching TV and you're having your snack. So I don't have those kind of snacks anymore. And It makes a difference.
It really did.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So has your taste in food changed at all as
quite
an intermittent faster?
Yeah. Yes.
Tell us about that.
I'm so picky now. I just, and I find like we, like I mentioned the cruise, for example, I'm like, the quality is really different. And I know it has changed, but I just won't eat it. If it's not great, I'm not going to eat it
And
anymore.
I wonder how much it really has changed or how much of it is Shelley is now a food snob.
You know, it's a good question.
Yeah.
The one thing I have to say that they are cutting back on portion sizes, which is great.
That's a good problem, right? I like that problem.
For example, after dinner, I would grab, the size of a quarter, a little piece of dessert. And it was so satisfying.
Yeah.
Whereas before they would hand you the full, full size, all you can eat,
Right.
So that part's good. But I have to tell you, I look at people in line at these buffets. And it actually makes me sad watching what people are eating.
That would have been me, though. Look, when I was cruising prior to intermittent fasting, I was that person. I would, that was back in the day when they had the formal dining room was open for breakfast and for lunch and for dinner.
Right.
Not anymore. But I mean, at least we always cruise Carnival. But I was there eating a full sit-down breakfast, a full sit-down lunch, a full sit-down dinner. And I might have had a snack in the afternoon on the buffet.
Well, but the meals were more quality at the sit down.
Maybe.
So that's
I don't know. But yeah.
I'm referring to like these, just the buffet foods almost look like Golden Corral buffets.
Well, I don't like a buffet.
And so maybe that's what it is.
It doesn't feel window worthy or special to me. Like I might would go over to the section where they had like the cheese and make a little plate of like cheese and olives and stuff like that. And that would be delicious. But I don't like eating. I really don't like any buffet at all.
I used to like
Golden Corral, by the way. So back in the, I don't anymore, but.
Yes. I got very creative. I had to laugh. We had a little taco bar out by the pool. And so I would go inside and make myself a nice salad at lunchtime. Yeah. And I'd come out to the taco bar, throw some of their chicken on it. And I mean, so there are things you can do that are still enjoyable.
And good. You're looking for the good quality stuff.
Yeah, it just felt good to eat it. Yes.
Yeah.
I love eating salads. And so for in the winter time, I find I struggle more for finding foods that I really enjoy to eat. I'm not craving salad in the winter.
Yeah.
And so I haven't found the replacements yet. I eat more meat and baked potatoes and, in the winter.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the whole idea of the fact that we really do crave different things seasonally and that the wisdom of our bodies. I watched something, I can't remember who it was. It was on YouTube, so I really can't remember, but it was talking about weight gain in the fall, right? People who gain weight in the fall biologically as we're preparing for the winter, but we start craving different foods.
Yes.
I think the more of us start thinking about what happens seasonally with curiosity, like someone could feel like a failure. They're like, I gain weight every fall. I'm a failure. Maybe that's just biology directing your body to store up for the cold winter that's coming.
I always packed on fat every October, November.
Yeah, that's what they said. And they said that, it's not that we gain it over the winter, we gain it before the winter. And it makes sense because you look at the animals that are getting ready for the winter to come. And
it makes
instead of feeling
sense.
Like you're a failure, what's wrong with me? Oh, fasting stops working every October. No, it's just your biological urge to eat different things because your body's like, oh, when cold weather's coming. And it could be the cues from the days are shorter, the temperature getting colder. And then our body responds and suddenly we're wanting potatoes and we're wanting chili and we're wanting the salad doesn't look good.
Exactly. And for a short period, we wore a CGM just to kind of do experiments with our foods. And we were so excited that potatoes were amazing for us. And
We
were both born in Hawaii. My husband was raised in Hawaii and we ate a lot of white rice growing up. Mm-hmm. We lived on white rice.
Right.
And so when we put the CGM on, we said, no wonder they have like a weight mm-hmm. issue in Hawaii. I mean, people eat rice. They eat
so the white rice did not do great for your blood sugar.
It just spiked it. And so we switched, you know, whenever we could, we'd switch to baked potatoes and we were smooth sailing. So
see, I love that. And it would go against everything we're, you know, like the glycemic index or whatever. Like,
right.
You know, if you're eating a potato, you might as well just be eating straight sugar out of the jar. No, your body responds differently.
I swear,
and you
everybody
have
should.
The data.
You everybody should experiment with the CGM.
I think so too. I really think so too. And you know that's why I love NutriSense that sponsors this podcast. And I'm not going to wear a CGM all the time. I don't want to.
I went through NutriSense. I love their app.
Their app is
everything.
So good.
Amazing.
Their app is really, really good. The one thing that I think intermittent fasters need to understand when they're wearing the NutriSense app or wearing the sensor and looking at the app, I always got a lower score on recovery because we're starting from the fasted state. So like they measure how your body recovers after you eat and they expect it to come back down to your pre-meal number. But because I'm like my pre-meal number was low because I'd been fasting. So like my pre-meal number might be 78.
Right.
And my number isn't going to get back down to 78 until tomorrow. Right. And it's not going to come back down to 78 because I'm eating now. So the one thing in the NutriSense app I had to understand was – and, you know, I like to see everything green. I want to have good scores. So I was always a little irritated.
Me too.
I'm like, but I know why. I mean, you can't expect your blood sugar to come back down like to that. But it would go up and then it would be back in that normal Fed range, you know, and in the 90s. There's nothing wrong with your blood sugar being in the 90s after you've eaten, but it didn't go back down to 78. So, but
mine
I love
was pretty
the NutriSense
app. I do love it. And I also learned that what I thought could have been hot flashes was actually drops during my sleep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think through the app there was a little session there where they explained that sometimes low blood sugar while you're sleeping could cause you to sweat. So that was interesting to learn. But no, it was really interesting to learn what the kind of my trigger foods were. And, you know, I would have my Breve cappuccino and it wouldn't even blip on my blood sugar. So I was good to go. But
awesome.
There were some, like I said, the white rice is just, you know, so now we just limit it. I'm not going to never eat it again. We just
having a potato instead is really no hardship, is it?
Exactly.
Right? And that's the whole idea of where knowledge is power. Like you no longer demonize potatoes. Not that you ever did. I don't know that. But society does, right?
Exactly.
If you ask people, is a potato good or bad? They're like, oh, bad, so many carbs.
Right.
Right. It's not bad. A potato is, I think potato is one of the perfect foods out there.
I agree. And a couple of nights on the cruise ship, they had the baked potatoes on the buffet and I was so excited. So.
Oh, I love
it. I do.
Oh,
they're
so
very
satisfying.
Filling.
Yep.
I love them.
That's what I think. They're very, very satisfying. And I am always happy when I eat potatoes.
Yes.
And beans. So
that was a great learning experience. Like I said, you start out intermittent fasting for some weight loss, and then you end up getting into all these different areas that are so fascinating.
Yep. So tell me some of your non-scale victories that you may not have mentioned already.
So other than that, let me think. I think the biggest thing for me is just, I mean, I look at pictures of myself and I really don't recognize myself. Mm-hmm. Like it's that different. There is a picture that I have from, which I agree, and to all your listeners, take pictures.
Please take the pictures.
I couldn't even look at myself when I started this
and
program.
And people feel that way. They're like, I don't want to take a picture of myself. I don't want to look at it, but you're going to want to have it.
Yes. And so I, about a year and a half in, I thought to myself, I don't feel any different. My body hasn't changed at all. And I forced myself to take a picture to do a side by side just for my sanity. And so I looked at that picture and I didn't even recognize myself. And it's kind of sad in a way because I still pictured myself as that starting body. And it was night and day different.
That is an important lesson because I hear from people all the time, like you just said, you didn't feel like you were changing. You didn't feel like it. You didn't see it in the mirror day to day. You didn't think, you would have thought, nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. I don't feel like I'm changing. But when you looked at the pictures, you were like, oh, wow.
And not just shape and size and weight loss, but there's a different glow.
Yeah.
There's a lack of puffiness. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to describe. There was a dullness in the original picture and, you know, probably a sadness, you know, mm-hmm. to some extent, because I did not want to take that picture. And yeah. so I forced myself to, but so definitely the skin change, I just think overall health, my blood pressure's always been low, but I feel like it's even better, and just energy levels for sure. I mean, I have 5 grandkids and they all live near me. And so we're very active with them. And it's so important as you get older to be able to have that energy.
It's true. To be able to run up and down, you know, 3 flights of stairs, my condo where I'm working right now, up on the 3rd floor, I can run up those 3 flights of stairs and not be the least bit winded.
That's amazing.
I couldn't have done that in the past. My obese body wouldn't have been able to do that. I can carry stuff up those stairs with no problem. That's what we want. I want to be able to still be running up those stairs. You know, I'm how old am I? 54. 54 today. I want to still be able to run up those stairs when I'm 74.
Exactly.
And I think we can do it.
I think we can. I think post menopause, I think that whole transition, I think fasting just made me much healthier overall. Yeah. Of course, I take hormones and I still take them even at 59 because I have a great
doctor. Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep taking them.
She says there's no reason to stop if
that's what I think. The people that I know that are experts all say, and they all take them themselves, the women who are postmenopause that are experts on the hormones, they will take them. They're like, well, I'm going to take them forever. I mean, as long as I want to stay healthy, I'm going to keep taking them. So that I'm letting those experts inform what
Absolutely.
I'm going to do because they
Me
know
too.
What they're talking about. Yeah. So we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I would like to tell people just starting, the key is just to hang with this. You've got to just be consistent. Don't quit. Absorb as much information as you can. The podcasts. I love the new podcast Jen has.
Thank
it's
you.
Fabulous. I can't wait for the new book. I read everything, reread everything.
And everyone listening, the new book is out, but we're recording this. Well, it's out as of the date that it comes out December 26th. We're recording this prior to December 26th.
I have
I got a box of them last week. I'm so glad.
Oh.
I got the box of them last week. So I finally held it in my hand. But everybody who's listening, it's available right now. But it's not available
a piece
to
of
Shelley
advice,
right now.
Yes.
It will be.
I would say piece of advice is order extra copies and hand them to your relatives. I always like to have extras because people, if you tell them to order, they may not.
They're
and
not going
so
to.
That
yeah.
way you just hand it to them.
I think so. I had a Christmas party here at my work condo, some friends that go to trivia with me, and I've just gotten the books in. So I handed everybody a copy.
Like, oh, I love it.
So far, none of them are intermittent fasting, but maybe they will be.
They will be.
Well, no, one of them is. One of them is my friend Chris. So she's in my community. That's how we met. But now she comes to trivia. But all the others, I handed them a copy. So hopefully.
And then the last thing I would say is just, again, thank you, Jen, because you are truly changing lives.
Oh, well, thank you.
You really are.
I love it. I love being able to spread this message. And I'm so grateful that the opportunity is there for someone like me. I'm just an elementary teacher, but for someone like me to tell my story and then let other people tell their story. And, you know, you can't argue with the results that people are having with their help, right? You know, we all love a great weight loss story, but I love to hear of how many ways people are healing.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Shelley, thank you so much for telling your story and for sharing the message of intermittent fasting.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jen.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice.
please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly crying.
Lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.